Talk about the music department at HBU and why a student, a prospective student, should come here.
There are two really, really good reasons. Number one, as long as I've been here, a very large percentage of the people on faculty are here to make it happen for the students. And that is number one, I think, our biggest situation, because every student, because of the smaller class sizes, every student gets attention that they deserve and that they ask for, and even if they don't ask for it, they'll get some attention. That one. And the other one is unusual, especially at small schools. It's been that way, I've been this way since I've been here too, and that is every course is taught by someone not just with a degree in that area, but with a passion for that area.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Dr. Dan Kramlett is professor of music and program coordinator for piano performance at Houston Baptist University's Department of Music. Dr. Kramlett has served in HBU's music program since 1981. He's an active pianist, playing in chamber recitals and leading church worship, and his professional work includes commissioned orchestral work and a documentary film score and a number of performance arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounds impressive. Let's go through the list.
That's what I do.
Commissioned orchestral work?
Mm-hmm. I was commissioned by the Arkansas Symphony to write a piece celebrating a 100th anniversary. And they had a senator on the program doing narration. And they did the Lincoln portrait, and he did that. Dale Bumpers was his name.
Uh-huh.
And this was a few years ago, but it was a very interesting experience.
A documentary film score.
Mm-hmm. That was on a missionary internship program, and they asked me to fill in music in between when people were speaking.
Yeah.
And it's actually HBU did this. Oh, my. This is in the 80s, and it was called Blessed Because We Came, and I worked in the tune As We Gather and did it with orchestra. We did it over in the studio, and that was also a fun experience. That was done at the time when you look at this, there's nothing computer anything. This was on video cassettes.
Yeah.
And I was writing something that would time with the action going on there. And when the conductor conducted it, he used a stopwatch, and he was right on it. It was fascinating.
And performance arrangements.
I've done all sorts of arrangements, especially I've published a number of handbell and piano arrangements with Christine Anderson.
Mm.
And these have found their way all over the country, and every now and then I'll get a letter of somebody who liked something I did, which is very gratifying. They're very useful pieces. They're used in worship. They're used in concert. A lot of them are, not all of them, but a lot of them are arrangements of sacred works. So Christine Anderson and I did about 24 of those.
Wow.
And published all of them.
So you're obviously working in the area of your passion, I can
very
tell
much
it.
So.
Now, I heard you're a Pirates fan, but I'm going to save that for
very
later.
Very much so.
Hey, this is Astros territory.
The Astros are my number two team right now.
Oh.
I've been a Pittsburgh Pirates fan since 1963, and Roberto Clemente was my favorite player. I had posters of him all over my room. So I can't abandon ship even if I move away.
Yeah. So did you abandon ship momentarily when the Astros won the World
Series?
Oh,
I was rooting hard. I was screaming there. I was at some of the games. I was at a couple of playoff games. In fact, I was at the playoff game where Pujols broke our hearts. I watched that thing sail right in front of me.
Well, in a Harvey year, there couldn't have been a better touchdown for Houston than the Astros winning the World Series. I mean, let's take it back to where you came from, where you were trained, why you came here.
I'm one of those people that I consider it a blessing to have made the decision about what I want to do with my life when I was in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I consider that lucky, especially I've seen hundreds and hundreds of students come through the door, and I'm always excited when they leave, but very few of them knew what it was as clearly as I did when I was in high school. And everything I did was towards that goal. Everything was about, I want to teach music in college. That's what I want to do. I was trained as a pianist. I developed very quickly when I was a little kid.
Now, who helped instill that in you?
Oh, my goodness. I've been battling that one my entire life. I'm going to say my Uncle Bob and his record player. I heard Rachmaninoff one day at his place. We weren't poor, but we just didn't have a stereo.
Yeah.
And this was the early 60s, and I heard a recording of some Rachmaninoff at my uncle's house, and
wow.
And that's how I reacted, and it's like, I want to do that. My mother tells me, I don't remember this, but she told me they were at a restaurant once, and there was this guy playing honky-tonk with the little garter thing on his honky-tonk piano, and I got up off the table. I'm 3 years old, and I go walk this guy. Just stare at him, and so the cover was off. My mother's told me the whole story, and it's from as long as I can remember. I wanted to play the piano. That's what I wanted to do. And by the time I got into high school, I was
high school where?
In Whitehall High School.
What, in Whitehall, Texas?
Whitehall, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Some might know it as the high school that Saquon Barkley just graduated from. We're alumni in common. We're Whitehall Zephyrs.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up, born and raised. Lived there my entire first 20 years. Was fortunate enough to study with a professor at one of the local colleges in Allentown, Pennsylvania. His name was Wilbur Holman, H-O-L-L-M-A-N. I owe him everything I am as a musician, because he took an arrogant little whatever and convinced me quickly that talented pianists are a dime a dozen. It's what do you make out of what you're doing? Are you focused? Are you going to be the best you can be, or are you just going to sort of settle? And he pushed me hard at a time in my life when I really needed to be pushed hard. He was a good thing for me.
You know, I want to just pause in your story on this issue of mentorship, because this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a father who heavily mentored me all my life, okay, until he died just recently at the age of 90. Never talked to my dad without him giving me lessons.
Mm.
And my son started traveling with me when he was 5 years old, traveled with me all over America. So consequently, he rarely makes a decision without asking me my input. But a lot of young people, unfortunately, and you know, we know that teachers are a powerful mentor.
Sometimes in place of parents, unfortunately.
And they can be both ways, because kids go to the university and are raised in church, and we get this 80 to 90% who leave the faith.
Don't start me.
Last Sunday on 60 Minutes, I don't know if you saw it, but one of the guys singing at the Met is an incredible talent who was a total juvenile locked in solitary confinement, and it was only his teacher who changed his life. Mm-hmm. So go back to this mentor, you know, and my goal is those listening that are faculty or parents or they're in any form of leadership, that they would see people not where they are, but where they could be.
Where they can get, yeah. Besides Dr. Holman, one of the, I'm sorry about my throat, I'm just finishing a cold. It turns out I played tennis in high school, and my coach, James Frederick, he wasn't a musician, but he understood what it was that I wanted to do. And as you might imagine, when I was in high school, my schedule was, there were tiny little compartments for everything that I did. I had to practice every day. You don't sort of practice, you practice piano every day. Well, I had to practice tennis too. And in the springtime, it was a very difficult thing to juggle all those activities. And when it came time to start the college process, my tennis coach was, and it wasn't about me becoming a tennis player, it was about me becoming a pianist. and getting a degree in piano performance. And he helped me probably more so than anybody else in my high school did. And I'll never forget that. I've been trying to look him up. His name is James Frederick, but there are thousands of people James Frederick. But I wanted to call him up sometime and just thank him for what he did for me.
Absolutely. And so continue on your migration and how you ended up at Houston Baptist University.
Well, with Dr. Holman's help, I got into a college, Lebanon Valley College. This is my undergraduate school, and it's a...
In Lebanon, PA?
Very close to Lebanon, PA, right down the road. And I studied with a man named William Fairlamb, and it was kind of at Dr. Holman's urging that I go to Lebanon Valley, but it suited me in so many ways, and I had an excellent experience there, and figure this out, it was a small church-related, Methodist church-related institution with an excellent music program. So this is what I want. I want something like this. And I always wanted to go back there and teach while I was there and when I was in graduate school. I didn't get there, but I got into a place. HBU is so similar to Lebanon Valley College.
Really?
With the way the people are, the music program, a church-related institution. It was what I wanted, and I was fortunate enough to come here. Well, my path went through Lebanon Valley College, got a piano degree, and one more mentor, his name is Robert C. Lau. He got me turned on to music theory, strangely enough, because I've always been curious, always wanted to know how music operates. Mm-hmm. And I just went into my master's is in music theory with a minor in piano. And I did my PhD coursework there, also with minors in piano and composition. And it was at Indiana University where I did my graduate work first, my first set of graduate work. I met Anne Gabor. She was a doctoral student when I was a beginning master's student, and we got to be friends. We worked on the staff of the Indiana Theory Review together. Wow. But she was only there for about a year and a half, and then she went away and found employment. And she ended up at Houston Baptist University. And when there was an opening, they needed somebody in a big hurry. Didn't I get a phone call? And here I am. So Pennsylvania, Indiana, Houston.
Take me back to 1981 at Houston Baptist College?
It had just switched. It was university.
Oh, university. Okay. Not as many buildings not, here.
I was going to say, maybe a third of the buildings. I was here before Atwood II. I saw Atwood II go up. Just about anything back there. Our recital hall was maybe theater. I've seen a lot of growth. I remember President Hodo, and I was hired by President Hinton. I wear that like a badge now.
Yeah.
There are a few around here who are still hired by President Hinton. But President Hodo kind of looked us all in the eye and said, I'm not leaving here until we get a performance arts building, and that's what the Cultural Arts Center is, the Mars Cultural Arts Center. So he kept his promise, and we have that fantastic facility, and it's meant a lot to what we are as a school of music, department of music.
I mean, we might just pause and talk about all the musical events that are held here.
Oh my.
I mean, Lee Greenwood was here and others the other night. Take me back through the collage of...
Oh, we've had some fairly important composers, pianists. Andre Watts was here. That was in the 80s. George Crumb, Joan Tower, composer. Eric Kunzel, the conductor of the Cleveland Pops. These are all people who stood on maybe theater and spoke to us. Andre Watts did a piano masterclass in maybe theater.
Wow!
It was quite a spectacle.
Institutions, universities have that unique group that are team members that are not prima donnas, and they have good shock absorbers, so they know the ups and downs of life, and they have staying power. Mm-hmm. And you're obviously one of them, and I can think of several others. What's the difference between a staff member, a team member, who hangs in there and believes in an institution and makes it happen and doesn't let the negativities of life and the oddities of personality conflict get in the way.
That's very true. You're reminding me of a little conversation I had with the man who hired me, who is also a very important person in my life. His name's Robert Linder. He had just become dean, and he was the one who hired me. And after a few years, he brought me into his office, and I go, what's up? And he said, Kramlich, you know what I like about you? You're not in here every 2 weeks complaining about something. Mm-hmm. You're not in here telling me how things should be done and not telling me how unhappy you are about this, not doing whatever. He says, you pick your battles and you deal with everything else as it goes. He said that about me, and I was happy to hear that, mm-hmm. because I've tried my entire career here to focus on what I do in the classroom, what I do outside the classroom as it pertains to HBU, and leave the other things, the some of it's petty, some, and every school is going to have this, every church is going to have this,
absolutely.
Families have this, petty squabbles that mean nothing. Mm-hmm. And I learned a long time ago to just let them roll off my back whenever I can. Mm-hmm. And sometimes something becomes really important that you have to fight for.
Yeah.
And as what Bob Linder says, he said, choose your battles.
Right.
He says you can't be, everything isn't a big deal, but you choose your battles and you accomplish what you want to accomplish and not be picking apart little things.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're looking for the negative, you're going to find it anywhere.
That's exactly right.
And unfortunately, people have a tendency either to gravitate to the negative or mm-hmm. become a change agent for the good.
That's a choice.
Now, I've seen you perform and play in galas and every kind of thing at HBU. I mean, you've seen a lot and heard a lot, haven't you?
Sure have. If you talk about important people, General Schwarzkopf, I want to say Arnold, I was here when Oliver North came to mm-hmm. one of the galas. And I didn't get to meet him, and I really wanted to because he was my brother's instructor in the Marine Corps. My brother was a career Marine, and my brother, when he went to the Naval Academy, and everybody who was in the Naval Academy goes straight to the boot camp situation, Quantico and whatever, and he had Oliver North as his instructor for a while.
What about Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, she was fantastic. And having Ron Stone around to do that, to be the MC was terrific. I was at that function, and she's impressive.
Thatcher had to have been one of the greatest female leaders that ever lived. Mm-hmm. And the world's crying out for those kind of people.
Yeah, she's not afraid to say what she thinks, and she's not afraid to stick up for what she thinks is right.
And when I look at the Brexit confusion of the UK, I think, whoa. Talk about the music department at HBU and why a student, a prospective student, should come here.
There are two really, really good reasons. Number one, everybody in the faculty, and I've been here a long time, and we were talking about squabbles and things, and every department's going to have its little squabbles, but somehow we've been, over the years, and this is 30-plus years, I've been watching it all happen. We kind of get around that.
Yeah.
As long as I've been here, a very large percentage of the people on faculty are here to make it happen for the students. And that is number one, I think, our biggest situation, because every student, because of the smaller class sizes, every student gets attention that they deserve and that they ask for. And even if they don't ask for it, they'll get some attention. That one. And the other one is unusual, especially at small schools. It's been that way, I've been this way since I've been here too, and that is every course is taught by someone not just with a degree in that area, but with a passion for that area. There are other places you can go, for a theory, for example. Sometimes the theory courses are taught by a person who doesn't have a degree in theory, mm-hmm. a graduate degree in theory. And they don't really want to be standing up there. And the students can see that in an instant. And I try real hard not ever to, if I'm unhappy about something, I don't show it to them. And I preach at them all the time. I said, if you roll out of bed in the morning and you keep saying, oh, I don't want to go in, mm-hmm. do something else. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, guys, if I ever, and this is true too, it sounds kind of corny, but if I ever roll out of bed and think, man, I don't want to go into school today, what a pain. I don't ever think that. Mm-hmm. My days, because I do so many different things, my days are almost never identical. Mm-hmm. And I'm involved in extracurricular things outside of the school, and I do a lot of things inside the school, but it's not all just one thing. It's all sorts of different things, and that kind of keeps me going.
You know, you bring up a valuable point that's been reiterated across this table so many times in podcasts where faculty have said, HBU gives personal attention to the student.
Absolutely.
If I've heard one person say that, I've heard that 30 times. When you get to the university level, mm-hmm. that is critical because we talked earlier about mentorship.
Yep.
You can't mentor a kid who's on the 15th row that you only
exactly.
know as a number.
Oh, and I have, I love to be able to share this with students because I have direct 4 years at each institution involvement as a student at a small liberal arts church-related institution and as a big, huge, largest, when I was there, it was the largest music school on the planet, Indiana University.
Yep.
And when I was there, there were 1,600 music majors, mm-hmm. 1,600 majors in music. And you don't think the competition, I mean, there were 7 orchestras. I was a TA. And I was given control of a course, which was very, very important for me to be able to be hireable. And I taught a theory class at Indiana, and there were 180 people in 2 sections in my theory classes that I was in charge of. I had 8 TAs under me, and I'm thinking, boy, I try to get to know those
sure.
faces.
But it's impossible.
No way.
There's not enough hours in the week.
So it's a trade-off, and I've often said, If you're a person that needs the attention like that, you're not going to get it at a bigger school. Yes, they have the facilities and opera every weekend, fully staged with an orchestra at Indiana, every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all really, really good things. But sometimes I think even more important is the guidance you get when you're trying to discover what it is that you want. When you're trying to discover who you are, because let's face it, entering freshmen, and I don't want to denigrate the millennials, it's easy to do, but it's, if you're an old guy
Why
like
not?
Me, it's really
yeah,
easy.
We might as well pick on somebody
yeah.
today.
But so many students go into college, well, my mom's making me do this, my dad told me yeah. I need to do this, you're going to get a degree, I don't know what, sometimes those people take a lot of extra work as far as getting them pointed in the right direction. But the idea that I've never experienced, I've seen it, but I've never had it, where you go to a college situation and don't know what it is that you're trying to be. Having said that, the other thing, I just want to trumpet the idea of a liberal arts education, and that is because, as I have learned, your life, you think it's going in this direction, but I'm here to tell you it'll turn that way, and then it'll turn that
sure.
way, and it'll turn that way. And are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for that kind of change? Are you prepared to change your plans on a little turn right here? Bob Linder used to refer to that as, there's a train coming. You're going to get on this one? Or there's a bus coming. You weren't expecting this bus. You're going to get on? He was talking about opportunities.
Sure.
So I've... one of the reasons I like teaching here so much is that I'm a big believer in liberal arts education, and I'm a big believer in whether you have a degree in this or a degree in this. If you've been rounded with all of the liberal arts curriculum, you're better able to deal with those twists and turns in your life path. And there's no such thing as a life path that doesn't get twisted and turned.
I want to tell you, and one of the tragedies today is that a lot of young people are not expecting adversity,
nope.
and they're not expecting tough times. And
it doesn't work that way.
They're as predictable as the sun rising tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to develop a toughness
yeah,
and a sense of adaptability. you know, HBU can give you personal attention as a student. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Kramlett illustrates that. And yes, there's a state school that might be bigger, cheaper, but they're not going to deliver quality like HBU is. I want to touch on one thing before we finish up. You know, and I know that we live in an age, the CDC the other day said they had understated the number of statistics on suicide, far greater. We live in an age of a mental health crisis. Mm. HBU is responding to it with a mental health center online. But there's a therapy to music.
And absolutely.
I listen to a lot of different stuff. And one of the podcasts I listen to is 10% Happier with Dan Harris on ABC.
Okay.
And he's a young man who basically it's Zen Buddhism. Well, I'm a Christian. But it's interesting listening to the podcast, what everyone is trying to find fulfillment mm-hmm. and satisfaction in life. Now, as a believer, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you're a believer, you know, I believe that John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. But the other day it was cited, a study was cited about how music therapeutically helps people in ways that they can't even calculate. Talk about it.
I'm a believer. I'm telling you what, obviously. I could describe what has been for me, but I can also describe the area of music therapy and you can get a degree. We in the Department of Music are looking into and trying to develop a new degree in that area. Music therapy, yeah.
Wow.
And I've met a couple of music therapists, and to talk to them, they all say the same thing. There's this massive explosion of need for music and art therapists in this world. There's so many different ways they can serve, where you help it. And it's not always just necessarily a troubled person. It might be an elderly person. It mm-hmm. might be sure. a child. It might be a special needs child. It might be a blind person. I met a music therapist in my, you might be surprised, I direct a choir for the blind in Houston, the Lighthouse Choir.
Wow.
And this is our fourth year, and I've been enjoying it very much. And one of the people in my choir works with a music therapist too. And she does it not to solve problems, but to develop herself personally and to develop her musical abilities and so on. So this person's sort of like a life/music coach for her. And it's great to get to know this therapist. And she was telling me a degree in music therapy. She said a matter of hours after you pass your certification and get your license and whatever, you'll be hired, period. And it's an exciting field to get into, and I'm hoping we can get into there soon. That would be neat.
That is fantastic. Okay, some baseball trivia.
All right,
give me some facts. Pirates.
Yep.
Anything in the baseball?
Roberto Clemente's lifetime batting average, 317.
Wow.
Yeah, MVP a couple of times. Won batting championships. Let's see, his MVP year would have been 1966. Batting championships, 61, I think, maybe. He was picked up as a Rule 5 thing from the Dodgers. That makes me happy. Makes me real happy. The Pirates plucked him from the Los Angeles Dodgers minor league farm system as a Rule 5. They still do Rule 5s today, and the rest for him is history.
Well, what was that guy in Brooklyn said happiness was seeing Mickey Mantle hit a home run?
I'll tell you what, I used to watch Pirates games in Connie Mack Stadium. My dad would take us to see the Phillies. I live closer to Philadelphia than Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And if you have another half hour, I'll tell you why I'm a Pirates fan in the first place. The long story. I can still feel it like it was yesterday. Sitting up there, that's Roberto Clemente right down there. And he had this swing. He had this ability to run. He played all out all the time.
Or should we say he had swagger?
He had a little swagger, a little bit of swagger. As his career went on, I used to complain a lot about injuries and things. And he's, if you recall, he was the one that he died in a plane crash helping earthquake victims.
Oh, Managua. That's right.
That would have been New Year's Eve, 1972, New Year's Eve of 73. And that was tragic. And he went down in an overloaded supply plane that was flying from Puerto Rico to Managua and had problems getting off the ground and staying airborne. And he went down with the ship.
Wow.
And when my brothers told me about that, I don't believe you, because every year was the same thing. My brother Mike would come up and say, hey, you know, the Pirates just traded Roberto Clemente to the New York Mets. And at the time, in the early 60s, the Mets and the Houston Colt 45s weren't very good. Get out. So, and then the one day says, Roberto Clemente died in a plane crash.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You're lying. And it took three or four people to corroborate the story until I believed
it.
Yeah,
so. I believe that. And what a gift Dr. Dan Kramlett is to Houston Baptist University. And we want you to learn more about all that's available through the music department at HBU, hbu.edu/music, hbu.edu/music. Dr. Kramlett, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
A pleasure.
Look forward to watching you in the days ahead.
See what we can do.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.